Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
We are in final part of this series called We Are Family. Month of October has 5 weeks in it, so this has been like a 5 week series that helps us understand our role and our responsibility in the family of God. What does it mean to be a part of a church family? What does it mean to be a member in the kingdom of God? And we share that there are some of us who've grown up in church but never really understood what it meant to be not just a church goer, but to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as well. So this series was to help us with that. So on today, my brothers and my sisters, I invite your attention to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Last week, we were in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to close out in this particular book, Ephesians chapter number 2. And while you are turning there, I certainly want to appreciate, as I do weekly, the staff of Uplift Church, those who serve diligently from setup to praise and worship to working with kids and for working with our parking team, a cafe. I'm so appreciative for everyone that serves, greeters, as those who work with first-time visitors. They are such a blessing as well. Ephesians chapter number 2, when you have, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter number 2. You've got it, say amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. Ephesians chapter number 2. I got some that are saying hold up. It's in the New Testament. So if you're in the front part of your Bible, you're going to need to flip to the back part. If you're scrolling, scroll down to the bottom of the list of the Bible books. You'll get closer to the book of Ephesians, written by Paul from a jail cell to the church at Ephesus, believed to be a secular letter, not for just one church, but for the church of Ephesus in the Asia Minor area. Ephesians chapter number 2. Here's what it says, beginning with verse number 11. Paul says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seat, do me a favor, put a smile on your face, like I'm really glad to be here type smile on your face, like somebody else filled my gas tank before I came type smile on your face, and say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church on the fifth Sunday. Today's sermon is when outsiders become insiders. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Say, hey, how you doing? Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is when outsiders become insiders. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Will you pray with me? Father, once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease, that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to. Silent now, I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. open my eyes and lift me. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So again, we are finishing the series, We Are Family. Next week, we begin a new series called It Was All a Dream. Now, y'all who are Biggie fans, come on. We're going to talk a little bit about church, but that's the series title. It was all a dream. So I'm looking forward to that as well. One of the most awkward experiences as a parent is when you catch yourself becoming your parent. All the parents said amen. Amen. when you find yourself saying and doing the same things your parents used to do, and when you were young, it's the stuff you hated, but now it just makes all the sense in the world. You come home from work and you see your child looking real comfortable sitting on the couch watching TV, and you ask that proverbial question, did you do your homework? And when the child says, I didn't have any homework, you do what your parents did. Go get your books. I'm going to give you something other to do. It didn't make sense when you were young, but now it makes all the sense in the world. You say to them, boy, did you take a shower? If you got boys, every parent has done this before. And the child says, yeah, I took a shower. And you say, come here, let me smell you. Just your same sorts of thing. You come home and you see your child watching television, and because it's your house and you pay the cable bill, you grab the remote just cause and put something on that you intend to watch, but you have been at work all day, you find yourself being watched by it, and then the child has the nerve to try to change the channel. You wake up and say, hey, I was watching that same sort of stuff that you hated when you were young. You began to do all the things you hated as a child, but now they just makes sense to you. The difference is that as a child, you were an outsider. But when you became a parent, your perspective changed and you became an insider. There is a difference between outsiders and insiders. While outside, you can see all the problems of the insiders, and you declare that I won't ever be like that. But once you get inside, your perspective changes. You begin to see that you have a responsibility to protect what you finally got access to. What do you do when you move from being the person trying to get hired to becoming the HR director? How do you handle it? What do you do when you move from being the person asking for a loan to being the lender? How do you handle it when you move from being a member of an organization to the president of the organization? How do you handle the transition from being an outsider to an insider? This is the question that our text this morning tries to help us answer. In order to get the full weight of what Paul is saying, I need to help us not just understand it based on the letter of Ephesians, but I need to help us to understand it set in the whole context of the Bible. We get it into the context of the Bible. This letter of Ephesians makes a whole lot more sense to us. I want to let you know right now, those who are used to coming to Uplift Church, you're used to coming and hearing quick introduction and 1, 2, 3 points. Today's introduction is a little longer than usual because we're going to take a survey through the Bible, and then we're going to get our 3 points and get out of here, all right? Here it is. So let's take a journey. Let's take a journey through the Bible in order to answer the question of how to handle moving from an outsider to an insider. Our journey begins in the book of Genesis, where God speaks to a man named Abram and says, Abram, I'm choosing you, not because you deserve it, but because I want to. Abram, I'm going to be your God, and many nations will be blessed because of you. In Exodus, God hears the cries of the Hebrew people who were oppressed in Egypt. They are a people without a land, without an identity, without power. He speaks to Moses in a desert and says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Not because they deserve it, but because I want to. I'm going to bless them with the promised land. I'm going to move them from outsiders to insiders. God does that. God blesses them so much that Israel becomes a mighty nation, and God tells them not to take on the practices of the people around them. And then they began to develop the view that the people around them were outsiders. They were the insiders because they worshiped the one true God. By the time we get to the book of Jonah, y'all, God is trying to bless other folks. God says to Jonah, I want you to go to a place called Nineveh, and I want you to preach until they get better. But by this time, Jonah has made up in his mind that he is an insider, and he doesn't want to share with anybody else. And so he chose to get on a boat and go in the opposite direction. God had to send a storm and a fish to give him a free ride, a fish to be his Uber, to get him to where God wanted him to be. It's amazing the level of spiritual amnesia that some people have in the kingdom of God. They've been in church 1 year and have the nerve to look down on people because they ain't right. And no wonder people in the world complain about the hypocrites in church. Could it be that some of us suffer from spiritual amnesia and act like you don't have a past? We all are an ex-something. And here's a newsflash. If you're not an ex-something, it's because you still are that something. God has brought all of us from somewhere. Jonah began to think like an insider, and he chooses to forget how far God had to reach down to pick him and his people up. By the time we get to the New Testament, the insider mentality of the Israelite people had taken root, y'all. They were insiders, and they were going to keep other folk outside. Jesus shows up, and he challenges their way of thinking by giving hope to the least, the lost, and the left behind. The insiders got bothered because Jesus becomes a threat to their comfortable lifestyle. Jesus was a problem because he was healing people that insiders had declared were unclean. Jesus was a problem because he was preaching with power and authority, and in their minds, they were the ones who had the power and authority. The insiders decided that Jesus was doing too much and he had to go. Insider thinking always tries to limit the people who can come in. I wish I had somebody who knew a little bit about that. You saw some folk who were in your crew, but then they got blessed and treated you different. They became the insiders, and they took on the insider thinking. Insider thinking is afraid of losing their comfort. Insider thinking has a problem with sharing. Insiders are threatened by folk who try to bring outsiders in. Insiders saw Jesus as a threat, doing too much, so he had to go. Not only did they see Jesus that way, insiders saw Abraham Lincoln was trying to bring slaves into the American dream, so he had to go. Insiders saw Gandhi was trying to give hope to people who had been taken advantage of, so he had to go. Insiders saw that Dr. King was trying to bring power to neglected people and bring them inside, so the insiders said he had to go. Insiders saw people like Huey Newton and others was trying to protect and empower abused people, so they said they have got to go. Insiders are interested in keeping folk outside so that the insiders can preserve what they have. The problem in the Old Testament was there. Problem shows up in the New Testament. The same shows up today. The Apostle Paul's words in Ephesians helps us make sure that we don't get trapped. When God blesses us, we don't get trapped with insider thinking. I'm going to give you three quick points and I'm out of your way. Paul teaches that if you're not going to get trapped with insider thinking, the first thing you need to do is remember where you come from. Remember where you come from. Paul writes to them and he says that you need to remember that you Gentile, non-Jews, were outsiders. He says, not only were you dead in your trespasses and sins, you didn't even know you were dead. He says, remember that you were separated from Christ. Remember that you were excluded from the chosen people of God. Remember that you were strangers to the promise of God. Remember that you had no hope. Remember that you were lost in the world without God. I read this, And I began to wonder, Paul, why did you have to tell the Ephesians this? I mean, Paul, they just got saved. I mean, they still look and smell like the outside. They ain't got enough money to buy new clothes yet, Paul. They just came in. I began to ask Paul, why did you have to tell them this? And God says, Paul, flip over to the book of Revelation. I had to tell John to write something about the church in Ephesus. I flipped over to Revelation chapter 2, and here's what God said to the church at Ephesus, the same one that Paul was writing to. God says, I know your deeds. I know you don't tolerate evil men. I know you don't deal with them false apostles, the false preachers. And I'm glad that you're still showing up for church regularly. I'm glad that you are persevering. But I got one issue with you, he says, and that is you have left your first love. You got used to what you had and you forgot where you came from. God said, I was trying to help them early on, make sure that they did not forget where I brought them from. And the problem with some of us in church is we forgot where we came from. We forgot that it wasn't that long ago that we too were the outsiders. We forgot that God had to reach way down to pick us up. And truth be told, for some of us, God had to reach down several times to pick us up. Some of us suffer from spiritual amnesia, and we judge folk for not being quote unquote good enough. We look down on folks for their mistakes. Some folk outside the church think that they have to be perfect to come inside the church, because so many of us inside the church have been lying for so long, making folk think we've got it all together. And the reality is, none of us deserves to be insiders. But because of God's love, because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, he moved us from outsiders to insiders. Paul says, never forget where you come from. But not only that, in verse number 13, we learn that we need to remember how we got in. Remember how we got in. It's my second point. Verse number 13, the Marquez Ball translation, here's how it goes. But now, because of Jesus Christ, you who were on the outside have been brought inside because of his shed blood. That's the Marquez Ball translation. I love it. Paul says, you need to remember that you did not get in because of your good works. You need to remember you don't have access to the kingdom of God because you've been so faithful. You need to remember that you don't have access because you've been so loving. You need to remember that you didn't get in because you've been so kind. The only reason you got in was because you had somebody to vouch for you. I remember my first car I bought, a Nissan Sentra. Here's how I bought the car. When I was in the military, I got a little credit card from Capital One Bank, and they gave it to me, so I took it. And so, to me, it was free money, and so I ran it like it was free money. I ain't know any better, so I just made some early mistakes, but I need to drive, I need to get a car. So I never forget, I went to Passport Nissan and walked in. I saw stuff that I liked, and I just figured that, I'll just be able to tell them my name and try to get a car. I hadn't gotten a car on before. And they said, well, so we need to run the credit report. No problem. Ran a credit report, and what had happened was Capital One came back to bite me, and so I wanted a car, but my credit could not get me a car. As a matter of fact, I remember the man's face. He thought I was joking. And so I remember he said, what you can do if you really want to get it, you can get a cosigner. I didn't know what a cosigner was. He said, this is somebody who has better credit than you. This is somebody whose debt-to-income ratio ain't like yours. And so I remember I called my aunt, because when I was growing up, my aunt always had it like this. So I called my aunt, Willene. I said, Willene, I'm sitting here at the car dealership, and they told me that my credit wasn't good enough to get the car. And they said, I can have something called a cosigner if you're willing to do it. Because my aunt, she helped raise me. My aunt, she loved me. My aunt said, sure, baby, no problem. And she sent what they needed her to have, and they gave me the keys to the car. Not because my credit was good enough, but because her credit was good enough and she was willing to co-sign. Come here, let me get you. My brothers and my sisters, you don't have access to the kingdom of God because your credit was good enough. The reality is your debt running over with sin, but Jesus Christ said, I'll co-sign for them so that they can have the right to the tree of life. Jesus Christ said, I'll co-sign for them so that they can have access to the kingdom of God. The reason you are in is because of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in this place this morning that remembers how you got in? You remember that he found you lost in sin, but he brought you in. You remember that he found you toe up from the flow up, but he was willing to pick you up and to bring you in. You remember that he found you lost and hopeless, but he was willing to pull you and bring you in. I'm so glad that he's willing to bring me in. Paul says, now that you move from being an outsider to an insider, you need to remember where you come from, and you need to remember who brought you in. I'm out your way. I'm going to share this last point. He says, now that you've been brought in, you can rejoice because you belong. You can rejoice because you're an insider. Verse number 19, chapter number 2, Paul says that you were once an alien. You were once separated, but you're no longer an alien, but you are fellow citizens. You are in God's house. And every time I get to the house of God, every time I come into worship, every time I get access to the church, I remember that I shouldn't be there. I remember I wasn't good enough to belong, but God has brought me in. And because I am in, I've made up in my mind I'm going to praise him and I'm going to rejoice solely because he was willing to co-sign to bring me in. I rejoice in having access to the kingdom of God. Paul says, now that you're in, as long as you remember where you come from, as long as you remember how you got in, you got a reason every single time you come to church to rejoice. I'm a country boy, country preacher. And growing up, I remember hearing this story. And I said, when I'm a preacher, I ain't gonna never tell that story. Because I was an outsider looking in. Old preacher used to tell the story of a man named John. He said, John went to a church in the town, and it was a dead church. They sat and they just looked. They were well-to-do folk, but it was a dead church. John was a little bit like me, though. John realized he wasn't good enough to be in there anyway. He didn't belong anyway, but the Lord had co-signed for him to come on in. And so John just came in the church shouting and clapping and dancing and singing to the Lord. One Sunday, John joined that church. And when John joined that church, he was singing, he was dancing, he was shouting. Everybody got bothered by John. They tried to sit him down. They tried to hush him up. They tried to hold his hands, but his legs would just keep moving. They tried to stop him, but John just kept on shouting. One Friday, some of the well-to-do, affluent members of the church, they got together. They said, we're going to have a meeting. We need to deal with John. John is doing too much in church. They said, doesn't John know that we don't act like that? They say, doesn't John know that we are an insider church? Doesn't John know that we all have advanced degrees? Doesn't John know that we all got good government jobs? Doesn't John know that we don't do that here? He's acting like an outsider. So we're going to go to John's house. When they got to John's house, they find John, the 87-year-old man. He was outside plowing with his mule. They pulled up in their nice cars, their Mercedes and their Lexus and BMWs, and some of them had Porsches. They pulled up on John's land. Saw John outside being country, plowing in the field with his old mule. John was shaking, and he was walking behind the mule, and they walked out with their nice clothes on to the field where John was. They said, John, we need to talk to you. John said, I know why y'all came. He said, because you think I act like an outsider when I come to church. I know why y'all came, because you think I do too much when I come to church. I know why y'all came, because you think I just make too noise and I rejoice too much at having access to God. He says, but let me tell you something. You see me out here with this mule, I'm 87 years old. I'm out here because God has blessed me to
to do that.
You saw how you drove up that long driveway to park your nice cars. All of that was my land, and God has blessed me with that. You noticed that I have 4 children, and all of them went to school, and I had to go to jail one time to get them out. God blessed me with that. But not only that, John said, I know my own life, and I know how much dirt I have done. I know how much I have messed up. And the simple fact that he's willing to save me, the simple fact that he's willing to deliver me, the simple fact that he's willing to pull me in, I just made up in my mind, every day he gives me is a day to rejoice and belonging. And if you don't want me to shout in your church, do me a favor. Hold my mule and I'll shout right now. And I made up in my mind that every time I get into the house of God, it's a time to rejoice. It's a time to shout. It's a time to dance. It's a time to praise. Because with God, I belong. My brothers and my sisters, all of us were at once outsiders. But because of God's love, because God's grace, because of God's mercy, he sent Jesus Christ to co-sign for us to belong. He sent Jesus Christ to co-sign, to give us access to the kingdom. Challenge becomes when you get access to the kingdom and you forget that you used to be an outsider. You forget that he had to reach way down to pick you up. So sometimes we come to church and we treat churches like it's just ours. We treat the kingdom of God like everybody else can't join unless they get themselves together. And so we refuse to tell people who aren't good enough about Jesus. We refuse to talk to people who don't look and smell and act like us as if we've always had it together. The truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ saw you at your worst and still was willing to save you. If you become an insider after having been an outsider, the question is, will you bring some other folk in? Mm-hmm. Or will you have an insider mentality that says, I'm in now and I must protect it all for myself? God would have for you to say, because he was willing to reach down and pick me up and to bring me in, I'm willing to go out and open the door and bring more people in. An outsider becomes an insider. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that while we were truly outsiders, we had no access to the kingdom of God. We had no access to salvation. It wasn't our right. We were lost in our sins and transgressions. We were dead in sins and didn't even know it, Paul says. But you loved us so much. You cared about us so much that you were willing to revive us. But not only to just revive us, but Lord God, you were willing to send Jesus Christ to co-sign for us so that we have access to the kingdom. We have the ability to call on your name. You took us when we were outsiders and did not deserve to come in, but you brought us in anyway. Lord, we pray right now that you would help us be the ones who open doors for others. That you would help us be the ones who you use to reach and to draw others. Because the reality is, Lord God, we don't deserve it. But your love extends to all. Lord God, for somebody right now under the sound of my voice, they've been feeling like an outsider their whole lives. They've been feeling like they were not worth it. They've been feeling like they were neglected by others. And they made up in their mind that when I become an insider, I'm not going to be like that. They never had access to being in yet. Today, Lord God, I pray that hearing what Jesus Christ has done, that he died on Calvary's cross to save us and to move us from outsiders to insiders, and all we've got to do is accept it. I pray right now that for somebody, they will make up in their mind, today I'm moving from the outside. I'm coming on in. Pray now, Lord God, that you're moved by your Holy Spirit. Touch somebody's mind. Touch somebody's heart. Touch somebody's spirit. Draw them inside the kingdom. This is indeed our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. As we stand all over the sanctuary, my brothers and my sisters, it's a blessing when you move from outside to to inside. It's a blessing when you move from outside to inside, not because you were so good, not because you had fixed yourself, not because you had it all together, but you had access to move because of Jesus Christ, if you're willing to accept it. Maybe there's someone here right now who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You've never made a public declaration of faith. Today, we invite you to do that. Today, you have the opportunity. God is saying, I'm still moving people from outside to inside. If you're willing to simply confess Jesus Christ, we make it very easy for you here. We have a public declaration of faith. And I simply invite you to repeat after me as we go before God praying together. And in this prayer, you are declaring, God, I want to move from the outside inside. Simply repeat after me. Say, dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up. But I accept that you sent Jesus Christ to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved.